98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, could I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Man, does this smell good.
Wolfen down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolfen Luke.
See, boys. All right, it is lunchtime, and as she does every day, Erin Maloney is here to bring us the top stories of the day. Erin?
So this week's Thursday night football matchup will arguably be the biggest in NFL history as the undefeated Arizona Cardinals and 6-1 Green Bay Packers meet head-on in a potential preview of the NFC Championship game. Here's Kyler Murray.
I do. I mean, if you know, I think in the past we've lost those big games, which, you know, it kind of makes you feel like the little brother to some of those teams, or, you know, per se. But when you win those games, like earlier in the year, you know, you beat the Rams, a great team. The team just kind of feels, you know, you got a different vibe to the team. Everybody's energy is different. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, just like I said, the maturity, adding new guys that have won before that have that mindset, that come in here with the leadership and the attitude. And, you know, I think the whole team just, you know, kind of just goes with that. You know, they feel that energy. So, you know, as far as this team, I think we're much different than any team I've been on.
Our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com, and it asks, who will be the biggest standout on Thursday night? Your options: Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Chandler Jones, or Byron Murphy?
Ooh.
I think I'm going to keep this one easy. I'm just going to go with Kyler Murray. I think he's going to have a monster game.
Yeah, so do I.
I think Isaiah Simmons is going to pick off Aaron Rodgers, and I don't know why.
Oh, man,
I don't know why.
Talk about a bold prediction.
Yeah.
That is a bold prediction right there. I like it a lot, as a matter of fact. Byron Murphy, no doubt about it. Byron Murphy is a guy that I could see if, in fact, Aaron Rodgers is getting a little discouraged and might force a couple of balls to his wide receivers because he doesn't have Devontae Adams out there and doesn't have Allen Lazard as well. Yeah, I could see a situation where he might force a couple of balls and Byron Murphy might make a play as well, but I think Kyler Murray is the obvious choice.
So 59% of the people say Kyler Murray, 21% say DeAndre Hopkins, 14% say Chandler Jones, and then 7% say Byron Murphy.
All right, I'll take that.
Steelers coach Mike Tomlin shut down speculation that he could be in the mix to fill college coaching vacancies. Not now, not ever.
Hey guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
Anyone else? All right.
Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
I
that was definitive.
I hadn't
heard the full audio.
Honestly, you know what? It's a compliment that people think of Mike Tomlin immediately. He sounds angry.
I love the beginning. I don't have time for this. Like, I got coaching
angry.
I got to be doing.
Well, we can all thank Carson Palmer, because this is where it stemmed from. Carson Palmer on the Dan Patrick Show.
Has Mike Tomlin hypothetically been discussed?
I'm sure he has. I think anybody is a potential candidate right now. And that's what's so great about the job, is it can lure an NFL guy in that's tired of their current situation and worried about, is Ben Roethlisberger gone? Is he done? Who are we going to draft? Does Mike Tomlin have to start over with a first-round young rookie quarterback?
That's a little interesting.
Well, I feel like they kind of led him into that.
They did lead him into that.
Yeah.
But Mike Tomlin's reaction is fantastic.
Mike Tomlin's reaction is incredible. He was angry. He was angry at the possibility of it. And yet it is a compliment when your name is the name that comes up at a supposedly coveted position.
Yeah, but
right?
how great was that of, this is the last time I'm going to address a college job rumor, now or ever. So, like, if something comes up in 27 years, he can just refer back to that audio.
But I love that right there. Yeah, that is a denial, correct? Yeah, it would be a complete denial.
The difference is I believe him when he says it and not Urban Meyer.
So do I. Yep, totally.
Jorge Soler became the first player ever to lead off the World Series with a home run as the Braves defeated the Astros last night 6-2 in Game 1. I know it's early, guys, but how many games do you think the World Series will go?
Well, I think it'll go 7.
You do?
I do. I think it'll go 7. If Houston had won last night, I might have said closer to like 5. But Atlanta winning, even though Charlie Morton got a fractured leg out of it, I think now we're going 7.
Yeah, I would agree with that right there. I think these are two very evenly matched teams overall. I think it's going to be a great World Series. I hope that the games get a little bit better than what we saw in Game 1. I love it when it is a two-run, one-run game, tied game, whatever it may be, going into the last, what, 3 innings, 7 through 9, and then suddenly hanging on every pitch, and some guy gets up there and gives you an 8-pitch at-bat, 10-pitch at-bat, fouling balls off, full count. It is, I mean, you hang on every pitch. This is what I want to see in the World Series.
I like
it. Hoping that it tightens up.
Until Tampa pulls Kevin Cash, or has him pull Blake Snell out against the Dodgers and hands them a World Series. All right, go ahead, Aaron.
Do you guys know what happened on this day 37 years ago?
Ooh. Oh, no, here we go. 37 years ago.
You're
gonna, wait a minute now, you're seriously going to say 37?
Do you know?
37 years ago.
Yeah, what happened?
October 27, 1984. Do you know?
Oh, wait, 1984. Okay, yeah, this is, I wasn't in the league yet. What happened there? What happened?
No touchdown scored against Penn State the last 2 games. This is West Virginia's second chance, and we've got 6 minutes to go in the first quarter.
We're right up the middle again.
This time, Wolfley. From 2 yards out, and West Virginia comes out smoking.
On Wolfley, he goes between Scott Burrows, 54, 77, Brian Joswiak. Take a look at it. They're going right to the left, right up the middle. There's excellent blocking at the point of attack at the line of scrimmage. And there is Ron Wolfley from Orchard Park, New York, scoring a touchdown.
How did you find that audio? Wow.
That's
oh, my
what happened.
Goodness. Scott Burrows at left guard and Brian Joswiak. Joes. Drafted number 6 overall by the Kansas City Chiefs. In 1986, Brian Joswiak.
So you do remember what happened on October 27th, 1984.
I don't remember that specific. The fact that we beat who? Who did we beat?
Penn State.
It was Penn State?
Yeah.
17-14, as a matter of fact. It was the first time. Wait a minute. That was the first time we beat Penn State in 32 years.
Really?
32.
And you were a part of history.
Yeah.
You pitched in.
Boy, that is, you know what, 37 years. Oh, wow, 37? Really?
You've gone through the full range of emotions here.
I was a little upset with your, like, touchdown dance, though, because all it was a big fist pump.
I didn't spike it, did I?
No.
See, you know why? Because I tried to spike it once when I was younger, when I was, like, a sophomore in college. I scored a touchdown,
yeah,
and I tried to spike it, and it fell out of my hands. That was it. I never tried to do that again.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. That was wolfing down your lunch. Attention, Cardinals fans. Tomorrow's your last chance to win tickets to see the Thursday night football game. That's tomorrow. Text RED to 620-620 and listen for your name during Bickley and Murata at the 7 a.m., 8 a.m., and 9 a.m. hours to win 2 tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Packers. That's RED to 620-620. Coming up, there are a lot of keys to the Cardinals game tomorrow, and coming up, we'll give you the 3 most important ones. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Still undefeated.
Colt McCoy takes a knee. This one's over. The Cardinals are 7-0.
Things aren't slowing down yet.
This week, y'all know Thursday night games. All right, it's a team that handles the week. Unique, weaker preparation, the best. That's who wins the game.
I know what's in front of us. A short week against an undefeated opponent.
Kyler Murray.
It's going to be a quarterback run up the middle. At the 10, at the 5, Murray dives for the end zone. And he's in for the touchdown.
Versus Aaron Rodgers.
Looking, he dumps it off right side. Got his man in the end zone. Touchdown.
Ready or not.
Prime time. Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals, Packers. Thursday night football. Now.
So, Wolf, we have it like outright said, hey, we think this is going to happen tomorrow night, or made any sort of predictions, and we're not going to make predictions on this game, but just in talking to you over the course of the last few days, I kind of feel like we both have the same outlook on tomorrow's game. I'm pretty confident in the Cardinals winning this game.
I was going to say, if in fact that is how you feel, yeah, I do. You know, listen, Devontae Adams not playing, I know that there are players inside that locker room that would be a letdown to some of the players out there. Alan Lazard, the fact that he's not going to play, that would be a letdown. Once again, you're thinking, who's he going to throw the ball to? I just don't think the Arizona Cardinals and their culture is built that way anymore.
Here on the Adams thing, this is what Steve Wyche said on the NFL Network. Because Adams has not been ruled out of the game, but he's not traveling with the team. But he could travel. If he gets a negative test today and then gets another one tomorrow, he could fly out on his own. I guess it's not his private jet, but I'm sure the Packers would find a way to get him out.
Oh, yeah, they'd find a way.
But this is what Steve Wyche said on NFL Network today.
Well, Andrew, here's the latest. As we know, Adams, he is in COVID protocols, and I've just been told that he will not travel with the Packers to Arizona today. But this is because he has to get a negative COVID result today and a negative COVID result tomorrow. And even if he gets both negative tests, he still would have to fly out separately tomorrow to get here on time for kickoff. That's a whole lot, especially since he has not been practicing on the 3 walkthrough practices with the team all week. So again, it's kind of trending towards what we think is that he will not play. But those are the actual mechanics that he has to go through. And again, there is that small chance that he could get here if he has a 2 negative tests and flies out separately. But again, that's asking an awful lot.
He also had more to say right here.
He has to get both of those negative tests in Green Bay and then fly on his own, private jet, whatever, to Arizona to get here in time for kickoff. And we don't know what time those tests or those results could come in. If they're very early in the morning, say 6 a.m. Central Time, he could get out here, gain 2 hours worth of clock, and get up to speed a little bit. But again, a lot of mechanics would have to take place. But there's still that small window.
So in other words, he could still play, but he's probably not going
to
play.
See, honestly, right now I'm thinking to myself, how in the world, the Green Bay Packers, they flew out today, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something they would do today. I can tell you right now, you could get that test immediately. They get the results back immediately. I mean, I shouldn't say immediately. I should say like a half hour later. So I don't understand why he had to have tested positive today. I'm just saying because, again, why wouldn't you test him? I go over there. I get tested myself,
you know.
Right?
Yeah.
I get tested myself. I go over there. They've got the facility set right up. I would imagine every NFL facility has got it right there, the testing right there, testing all of these people on a daily basis out there. So I go out there, I get tested 6 o'clock in the morning. There they are. They're out there at 6 o'clock in the morning and boom, you get the results less than an hour later.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm.
Is it possible he has one negative, but they won't let him fly until he has 2 negatives? Or
okay,
is that,
now maybe that's what it is right there.
I mean, I'm just guessing.
Maybe that's what it is. He's got, he can actually, 1 negative, he needs 2,
yeah.
So that's what it is.
But even then, that feels like a movie. Like he has to then get from Green Bay to Arizona and he's only got 8 hours.
Yeah, and they just said, at least that report said, that he had to get it both in Green Bay.
Yeah.
You couldn't get it here.
It's too bad that Michael Bidwell is our owner. Sorry, Devontae.
Michael, yeah, I guarantee
does
you.
Does your owner fly planes?
Yeah, sorry, we don't have a jet you can borrow, Devontae.
I think they would find a way to get a jet, I would imagine, right? To pay somebody, some crazy Packer fan, some cheesehead who owns a jet, a private jet, or maybe just buy one instantly just to get Devontae Adams down here. I think it would be worth it.
All right, so operating under the assumption that he's probably not going to play, Wolf, when you look at this game, what are the main things the Cardinals have to do to get a win?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, there are 3 things that I think they have to do. Physically, mentally, and emotionally, they need to protect Kyler Murray. That is number 1. They need to keep Kyler Murray in a 3-dimensional offense where they run it, where they throw it, and use play action. They need to do this. This should be part of the plan going forward, schematically, philosophically, and organizationally, to reverse engineer it. You've got to have a plan from the organizational level that says, hey, you know what? We need to adopt a theory here, a philosophy, if you will, where we're not going to put Kyler Murray at risk because he's our franchise quarterback. And by the way, maybe next year we're going to offer him, we're going to drop something real big on his table. It might even be by the end of this year.
Yeah.
We're going to drop something real big on his table.
How much did Patrick Mahomes get? $500 million?
So that's got to start organizationally. And then it's got to move down to a philosophy that you have. And then that philosophy moves down to the tactical level with Cliff Kingsbury that says, schematically, we're going to protect him physically, mentally, and emotionally. We're not going to just say we're going to run this offense and we're going to let you go ahead and bring people off the edge and knock them down on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, we're to the point. It's funny. I mean, we're to the point now with this team where that is, at least to me, the only thing that can derail this team. That doesn't mean that a healthy Cardinals team couldn't lose to a healthy Tampa Bay team in a one and done in the playoffs.
Sure.
But I'm saying in terms of derailing this season, it's crazy. Any team that loses their quarterback, it's going to mess them up. But the Cardinals are 7-0. They're at the very top of the football universe. And if Kyler Murray were to go down, okay, I have concerns. If they lost another guy for a couple games, I mean, they're playing without Rodney Hudson right now.
Yes.
He's honestly on the short list of one of the most important players on this team that isn't named Kyler Murray, and they're still winning all the games.
Yes, number two, they need to win the turnover battle. The Cardinals have turned over teams and protected the ball. Listen, this is who they are. It's part of their DNA. They're plus 14 in turnover margin. That's number three in the league in that category. Number three. They protect the ball and they take it from you. Boy, that has been a winning formula for a long time in the NFL. And number three, they got to keep running the football, man. The Cardinals are number five in rushing yards per game and number 16, right in the middle of the pack in rushing yards per play. They need to continue to run the ball. Where is this pretty boy football? Where is the air raid? Because we haven't seen it. They've been running the ball, and the Cardinals, they can beat you in a number of different ways. If they need to sling it and fling it to beat you, they'll do it. Isn't that right, Minnesota Vikings? If they need to beat you by flattening your face with a frying pan, they'll run it. Isn't that right, Los Angeles Rams? Ran right over the Rams, 216 yards rushing against the Rams. And if they need to be balanced, they can be balanced, run and pass. They can do both like they did against the Browns.
Text us your thoughts on tomorrow's game to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, the Suns are back at it in downtown Phoenix tonight. We'll get the latest on the basketball team here from Suns broadcaster Kevin Ray. He'll join us. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Pass it in from the corner.
Wolf and Luke.
Brings the boom and catching bodies on his way to the rack.
Suns, game day with K-Ray.
I'm ready for whatever.
A weird start to the Suns schedule. Three games in four nights, and then they haven't played since Saturday. They will host the Sacramento Kings tonight, which officially makes it game day, which means, Wolf, it is time for game day with K-Ray.
Yes.
And so Kevin Ray of Bally Sports is joining us right now on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Kevin, what's going on, man?
Fellas, how are we today?
Doing good, K-Ray. You're 1-2 right now. Run for your life.
Right. Panic.
Right?
Lights going off.
Honestly, what have you seen through the first three games, Kay?
Well, you know, it's Monty Williams joked about it, just kind of jokingly said, you know, hey, thanks to the NBA for that three-game schedule in 4 days. And it wasn't just your random three games. You know, you're going up against two of the teams that you knocked out of the playoffs,
and then
you're facing another team that you swept last year and did so in a embarrassing fashion. And, you know, training camp was brief. You just had a variety of things going on. And, you know, in looking back on it, Wolf, and you'll can certainly appreciate that, it's kind of like that conditioning test, you know, when you were playing back in the NFL and you knew that you had the conditioning test, right?
Yeah.
You came into camp in shape, or so you thought. and then the coach said, 6 300s. to start. So, you know, you get done and you're white, your lips are all pasty and chalky and you're seeing unicorns floating through the air. That's essentially what the Suns tried to endure over that 4-day stretch.
And you almost barf all over John Bon Jovi's boots.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, we've all been there. Okay, right now you start this off, this 5-game homestand, and, you know, it's early to be saying, oh, this is an easy team or this is a great team. But, I mean, I think we can also kind of look and say Houston's probably not at the same level as Denver and L.A., and so they do have a stretch here where the games are a little spread out. They don't play again after tonight until Saturday, and these are home games, and they should be, based on what we saw last year, easier games. How important do you think that is for this team to kind of get a running start now towards the main part of the season?
Yeah, look, you can't overstate it. It's the longest homestand of the season. And to your point, you know, they've had a few days to kind of collect themselves and go back and look. You know, Monty, you know, took the shouldered the blame for the loss Saturday night in Portland. But that's just, you know, Monty being a classic head coach. But the players all talked about communication. They're not on a string defensively, and that's been pretty evident through all three games. Mm-hmm. You know, the three-point shooting defense has been poor, to say the least. So I think those are the things that they will get tightened up. And going back to the conditioning, you know, Monty had said we're not in Suns basketball shape yet. I think that in some respects, even this week with games, they'll continue kind of that training camp conditioning. The guys talked about being able to get up and down the last couple of days. So I think the conditioning, a combination of the opponents coming in and guys kind of settling into some roles. There's a few tweaks that they've made offensively that they're playing with right now. I think that has also prompted guys maybe thinking, not necessarily just playing or reacting. That's played a role in it. But you have an opportunity to get reestablished. And, you know, do what they did last year, which is really handle your business on the home court.
And, Kay, the time off as well, I think it gives everyone the opportunity to focus a little bit on maybe the culture that really propelled them last year, the culture that really created a lot of great chemistry inside that locker room. And part of that is DeAndre Ayton. How is DeAndre Ayton right now? After the first three games and this little downtime right now, what are you hearing on DA and how he is mentally?
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a good article. I don't know if you guys saw it or had a chance to read it, but Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports, you know, talked with Chris Paul and just asked him, you know, point blank about the contract situation with DA. And, you know, Chris said one of the keys that he remembers as a young player, and he referenced Doc Rivers, and he said Monty does the same thing. He goes, but it comes with maturity, and that is clearing the clutter. And he said oftentimes, more often than not, that clutter comes from voices closest to you. And being able to clear that clutter comes with maturity. DA's only 23. So that's why I love and I believe that this locker room led by Chris Paul will allow DA to lean on them, along with Monty Williams, too, because of the type of coach and the type of man he is. But look, as I said last week in our visit, you know, when DA has bad games, people are going to examine it more than they might, you know, had he gotten the contract extension. Having said that, the examination might be even more stringent because then people are saying, well, you got all the money. Why are you playing so poorly? So
right.
He just has to understand. Bottom line is just go do what you're supposed to do. Go play ball. And as Chris talked about in this interview, you know, he said this is the tightest locker room, the best locker room he's ever been in. So embrace that family feel and ride through the storm those days when it is getting tough, when the clutter is maybe more than others. And, you know, take advantage of that leadership that you got around you.
So with this downtime right now and the practices that are going on, you haven't heard anything other than what you just said. DA's fine.
No, I think, you know, you listen to DA. He's, you know, he's saying and talking about the right things. And, you know, all we can do is, you know, take him at his word and then hope that the results, you know, back that up with more wins to come.
Talking to Kevin Ray, of course, hear him on the Bally Sports broadcast tonight as the Suns host the Sacramento Kings. K-Ray, Mikal Bridges did get paid. It was like 2 weeks ago now. And he's scoring a lot here. I know it's only the first three games, but not even the stats, but just has he looked, has his game looked any different to you in the first week of the season?
Not really any different than what we saw, you know, Luke, that last 6 weeks, you know, with the playoffs combined. You know, we've seen a more aggressive Mikal Bridges, you know, not just settling for that corner three. We saw Mikal begin to flourish with some of that mid-range, and that was a combination of him working on it, but also seeing, you know, the kind of easy shots that Devin Booker and Chris Paul typically get. You know, you go back to that Portland game, the number of shot attempts he had compared to Chris and compared to DA, I think that goes back to one of the new wrinkles that Monty and this team are working on so that teams can't necessarily focus on what the Suns were doing last year in terms of book on the catch and shoot, playing off the weak side. So I think that's also part of why we've seen little fits and spurts from this team offensively. But I look for during this homestand to find a little bit more of that shot-taking balance. But I love what I'm seeing so far out of Mikal, and certainly on the defensive end. I mean, he was just an absolute maniac on that in that win Friday night against the Lakers. And if he continues to do that, there's no reason he can't be a first-team all-defensive player.
Kevin Ray, great stuff as always, man. We'll check out the broadcast tonight for sure on Bally's.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Brother.
Thanks a lot. That's Kevin Ray of Bally Sports joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. When we come back, Aaron Rodgers or Kyler Murray? We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Still undefeated.
This one's over. The Cardinals are 7-0.
Things aren't slowing down yet.
This week, y'all know Thursday night games. All right, it's a team that handles the week. Unique, weaker preparation, the best. That's who wins the game.
Kyler Murray.
You just got to be ready. You got to prepare for them quick. I mean, everything's quicker. We understand the task at hand, and we come ready to play on Thursday.
Versus Aaron Rodgers.
I know what's in front of us, a short week against an undefeated opponent.
Ready or not, here I come.
Time. Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals, Packers, Thursday night football. Now.
Well, you know the NFL loves this. Not only do they have a Thursday night football game that people are going to watch just because it's Thursday night and it's the NFL. Well, now, Wolf, you've also got maybe the best Thursday night football matchup ever based on record, a combined 13-1. The Cardinals have won 7 straight. The Packers have won 6 straight. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, they just can simply point to, hey, it's Kyler Murray and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I just honestly, I can't wait to see it because these are two very, very hot quarterbacks, obviously, in the National Football League. Yet at the same time, one represents the old guard of quarterback in the NFL and one represents the new. The old and the new going head-to-head tomorrow night. Two different kinds of offenses. Yes, they do use some of the same schemes, of course, some of the same protections, some of the same plays. But the way they get to it, especially in rundown situation, is completely different. Rundown situation, 1st and 10, 2nd and 1 to 6. You're going to see Aaron Rodgers under center a lot of the time in rundown situation. You're not going to see Kyler Murray under center a lot of the time in rundown. Who knows? Now, maybe this is the game that Cliff Kingsbury changes and says, oh, no, you think we're a shotgun team? You think we're just going to be a pistol and shotgun? Heck no, we're not going to do that. We're actually going to move Kyler Murray under center earlier in the season. We saw this. we saw there were a couple of games they hit double-digit snaps under center, as a matter of fact.
Craig Grealer would pop in and give you the
exactly
the snap
right.
Count. Yeah.
As of late, over the last 2-3 weeks, it has tailed off considerably.
I'm gonna play the clip again that we played earlier in the show. This is Aaron Rodgers from the Pat McAfee show yesterday, talking about the evolution of quarterbacks in today's NFL and specifically Kyler Murray.
Well, I think you've seen it over the years as a lot of the changes happen, kind of, maybe you wouldn't expect this, but a lot of it comes from the high school level to the college level to the pro level. And you've seen more and more of these quarterbacks who, you know, have this, you know, when they get ranked, it's like quarterback / athlete. You know, they're putting athlete alongside the quarterback's name, which guys like
that wasn't
myself,
you.
That's fantastic. You know, I would think I was just more like quarterback, half a star guy. You know, no slash. But he's a talented guy, and there's a lot of guys who are doing what he's doing. You know, they can attack you so many different ways when you got an athletic guy like that. Obviously, you can read option stuff, which you know, we saw in the early 2010s with guys like Cap and Russ. And then, you know, guys who can really sling it and move around a bunch, which there's, you know, a few guys like him. But, you know, he's talented. Arm talent is fantastic. He can run around all over the place. He's one of, if not the fastest guy in the field most of the time. And the weapons that they got, obviously D-Hop is a fantastic player, has been for a long, 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 long time. A.J. Green, seeing him come back for his injuries and playing really well. Christian Kirk, great player. Zach Ertz, a buddy of mine who just got recently traded, is a super talented guy. So we're going to have to keep up with them scoring-wise because they've been very consistent offensively.
That's a lot. I feel like Aaron Rodgers did the last hour of the show.
Yeah, for me, it's the beginning and it's the end of what he just said right there. The very beginning of it, he's talking about this new, and he's talking about the new football that is out there, this new brand of football, this new scheme of football, where it's started in high school, and it was high school, and it's college, and now it's even in the pro level. And to me, I sense a little hint of dislike for that, right? I don't know. I sense a little bit of well, it's a quarterback / athlete, and not just a quarterback, but a quarterback / athlete.
So you mean more resentful, not towards Kyler Murray, but just the way the game has
absolutely
gone.
Like this is, hey, listen, this is a new thing that is coming into the National Football League, and I really don't think it's going to be around for a very long time. This is just me once again. I think he puts a lot of stock into being a pocket passer and a quarterback.
Yeah. Which is funny because he's mobile too. Aaron Rodgers has always been pretty mobile.
Oh, they put him on the move all the time. But once again, there's a big difference between running the zone read and, hey, how about a quarterback draw, Aaron? Let's go ahead and do that. Let's snap you the ball and we'll run the quarterback power with you running the ball. You know, you don't see that. With Aaron Rodgers, of course.
There really haven't, I mean, as you're talking and as he was talking, you do think about it, like the direction that the sport is going, maybe we will see more guys like Kyler Murray in the future, but there really aren't a lot of quarterbacks ever quite like him. Like, I knew he got the Russell Wilson comparisons when he first got drafted, and I think some of that was scouts that were freaked out by how tall he was, and they were like, well, Russell Wilson wasn't very tall, and look how good he is. And he is mobile. And a guy like Lamar Jackson is a great runner, too. And Lamar Jackson can throw. It's not like he can't. But to have the combination of everything that Kyler Murray has to be such a threat to just be like, okay, we need 12 yards. I'll just run for 15. But then, I mean, Wolf, he doesn't throw a lot of passes that miss the target.
No,
he really doesn't. Like, no, we're to the point where if he goes to throw the ball, even if you're watching on TV and you can't see who he's throwing to yet, you're like, well, it'll get there. And we'll just see what happens when it gets there.
Yeah, can I also tell you that I believe that Aaron Rodgers believes there's a lot of difference in regard to how Kyler Murray throws the ball and how he throws the ball. And I don't mean mechanically, of course. I mean mentally. The Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, he's talking about read routes for the most part. They're all read routes. your wide receivers are reading the coverage that the quarterback is reading, and you're on the same page. Now, the Arizona Cardinals have those routes as well, but they also have take routes where you're just going to run the route. It's going to run. You're going to run the route, and it's up to the quarterback to actually determine where he's going to go with the ball. Okay, that's not. That's looked down upon by a lot of old school quarterbacks, that you're not actually reading the entire field. You're not reading the entire coverage. You're not doing that. You're actually reading half the field.
But that
right?
is evolution. That's okay. Why wouldn't you do that for your quarterback?
I'm just saying there are going to be some people who are going to look down on that, Luke.
Those people that raise their pinky when they drink?
How dare you? How could you do that? I see. You've dumbed down the position for others, right? Is that what you're... Mm. So this is the reason why I thought it was interesting. He spent some time setting the table, setting the context, in my opinion. Again, and I'm not saying he's trying to disparage Kyler Murray at all, but I thought it was interesting he started with that. He started to set the table, set the context before he complimented Kyler Murray. That's all I'm saying. I thought that was interesting. And again, I could be reading way too much into that, but I thought that was interesting. And then how he ended the clip right there, the fact that they were going to have to score with the Arizona Cardinals, see, and that is the problem. That's why the Arizona Cardinals offense might be their best defense.
Well, that sounds like Aaron Rodgers saying we have to play their game, which there's a lot of gamesmanship with Aaron Rodgers, too. I mean, I take everything he says with a grain of salt. It's funny that...
That's why, he's like that. He's a very intelligent dude, a deep thinker. And you never know when he's got that tongue in the cheek.
What was that impression of him again? Was it, I'm going to go host Jeopardy later on today?
Yes. I'm saying there's some quarterbacks out there who you better be doing it the way I did it, or I could guarantee you right now this is not quarterback play.
Well, here's Kyler Murray talking about Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, he's up there. I mean, he's probably my favorite quarterback. Yeah, probably one of my favorite quarterbacks. I mean, to watch, just, you know, his
just
swag.
Stop it right there for a minute. Who are you thinking of, Kyler? Who are you thinking of right there where you said he's my favorite quarterback? Well, probably one of my favorite.
You know what? I appreciate the commitment to accuracy.
Exactly.
I really do. Well, hold on. And just in case somebody fact checks me in 3 years, I want to make sure I didn't say Rodgers was my favorite.
But don't you want to know who that is?
Yeah, but I think you probably hit it earlier when you said Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes?
I mean, maybe Baker Mayfield. He, like, knows him. Wouldn't it be great if he was thinking of himself?
Yeah, but he really wanted to beat Baker. He wanted to beat Baker badly.
And he did.
Right, Kyler? You wanted to beat him badly, and you did.
This goes back to the same conversation. There really hasn't been a lot of quarterbacks like Kyler Murray. Who do you think he looked up to as a quarterback growing up? I mean, he grew up watching Aaron Rodgers.
Michael Vick, was that too early for him?
I think that was a little too early for
oh my goodness.
For Kyler
Don't
Murray.
Tell me that. Don't what
I think it was, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Honestly,
we're at the top. Let's go.
He's a blending of a lot of different quarterbacks. You all right over there?
We're just honestly the realization of what is happening next.
It's never good when your co-host tells you to go to break.
It's time.
That's usually the producer's job in your ear quietly.
Goodness, yes.
All right. When we come back, Cardinals or Packers?
Was it 37 years ago? Was that what it was?
37 years exactly.
30s. Okay, do your read.
West Virginia over Penn State, 17-14. Okay, Ron Wolfley in the end zone.
Do it, please.
Cardinals-Packers, who would a win mean more to tomorrow? We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.